And we are live. Welcome to this week's episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host. And as usual, I'm joined by Seth Winchaub, already back in New York. Seth, how are you doing?
I'm tired.
No kidding.
No kidding.
This week, we're going to obviously start with the biggest news of the week, which is, of course, the Fisker $40,000 card. It's coming out on Monday. I'm kidding. It's going to be the Model Y news that we're going to talk about. Sorry, the microphone right now. Is that you or is that me, Seth?
It's not you, it's me.
It's you. I don't hear you that much. I heard your computer for some
testing,
reason.
Testing.
Yeah. Right, maybe just bring it closer. All right. Model Y, we were there just last night or early this morning in my case. And Seth was there, but you had to leave like in the middle of it, basically.
I got a ride.
Yeah, you got a ride. That's right in
so
it.
What was after the ride?
Yeah, well, there was people to talk to and everything. But in terms of Tesla event, it was really tame compared to what we usually see. I have to change that microphone thing. There's something going on right now. I hear a ton of feedback.
I actually got to meet some interesting people. I talked to Robin Denholm for a little bit, the chairman of the board of Tesla. She seemed quite nice, and she's a big fan of electric, supposedly. Which, you know, is almost believable. And then a couple other board members were there. Some celebrities were there. John Favreau or whatever.
John Favreau was there?
Yeah. I didn't see him. Yeah, he was in the executive entourage. Kimbal Musk was there. He had a hat. He looked like Speedy Gonzalez size hat. It was about, I don't know, 30 feet wide. And who else was there? I don't know. I saw some people. I didn't see the investor guy. He was usually there. He got in trouble recently and started his own thing. Oh, well.
Not sure we were referring to. Anyway, I think my microphone is working fine now. It was a bunch of celebrities, but in terms of Tesla event, I felt like it was quite tame, right?
Really tame. I mean, the first, 45 minutes was, rehash. And, of course, for normals who are watching or just getting on the Tesla bandwagon, for the first time, that rehash of history was, probably interesting to them. Yeah, for us, it was kind of yes, we know the story. Come on.
I think pretty much for everyone in the room too, because it's right. All hardcore fans. But I get why they do it, because it makes sense for the if you're targeting the mainstream, which they are with the Model 3 and now the Model Y. But I meant the whole party itself too. I felt it wasn't up to Tesla standard really for some reason.
There was jelly, lots of jelly.
Yeah, it was pie. But they closed the bar 45 minutes after the presentation, so
I couldn't handle
it. Looks like get out of here, people, get out of here.
The drinks were too sweet, and there were a couple issues, but for the most part, on the whole, it seemed like they had this little tidbit of news that was almost not big enough to have an event. I mean, here's the Model Y, boom. That was the whole event.
Or they could have spent more time on the Model Y, I think,
right.
Because. To me, well, we can go to more details about our expectation and everything, but ultimately, I think most people, they don't feel what we expected. In terms of the specs, I'd argue that it's on the higher hand of what we expected, the range in the higher hand, the performance specs and everything on the higher hand. But when it comes down to, it's so similar to Model 3, just a little bit higher, more cargo space and everything. It has the third row. That was a big deal, though. It looks like it's going to be insanely small. Small pictures we managed to get.
I mean, when you were riding and you looked in the back, it didn't look like there was room for a third row back there.
No, it looks like your knees are on your chin. But
yeah, I don't think it's for adults. I think it's going to be a kid's third row.
Yeah. I think the biggest feature of the Model Y, where the difference with the Model 3 is, the hatch. It looks like it has a much bigger hatch. And even though that sounds like it's nothing, it's actually a big deal for a lot of people, because it's becoming a utility vehicle, a small SUV crossover type thing. So a small utility vehicle, and you need a big hatch for it. And that was a huge bummer for me, that not only, like, I thought it would be a perfect occasion to, like, just turn the car around during the presentation and open that hatch. Or during the test ride before getting in the car, show the hatch to all the test riders who you're trying to sell the car to, and to place a reservation, which we're going to get into. It's actually an order that you're placing, a pre-order, whatnot. They never showed the hatch. So that was the part that I didn't like about the unveiling. Other than that, the car looks great. If you squint your eyes a little bit, you're going to think it's the Model 3.
I mean, it seen on its own, it looks exactly like a Model 3 from the front. Yeah. It's just obviously
Disparity with the front end, though.
What do they call that? Effects? I don't know. The bottom where it wraps around, and obviously it's taller, a little bit taller, but not like strangely a lot taller. No. It doesn't start getting taller until, like, you hit the windshield, and then that gets, I would say, significantly taller.
And if you look from the back, so if you look just at the rear through quarter of it, then you see it. But if you see it coming from the front, you're like, good luck trying to figure it out. That Model S and Model 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are Model 3? Though the two vehicle that they had there, they had a chrome delete. That might be a way, because Tesla doesn't. Chrome delete is popular on Model 3, but it's an aftermarket product that you can do to get the chrome delete. While Tesla doesn't do it factory made or standard or anything, all the cars that they unveiled yesterday had a chrome delete. So if it do become standard, and Tesla opened the online configurator already, and the car that they're showing on the online configurator also has a chrome delete. So it looks like it's going to be standard, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the new design. I wonder if, like, the Model 3 is going to see something like that. I mean, it looks a lot better.
I like it. I haven't done it on mine yet, I'm considering saying it seriously, because I think it has a really clean look.
It does. It looks really nice. I like the both the white one and the blue one they showed last night. They both look really hot. I'm like, if the ordering process wasn't so suspect at the moment, I would probably already have my order in.
Yeah. I would certainly, like, my performance Model 3, I'm like, I could trade that in for maybe a performance Model Y, I think.
Yeah.
I would consider it for certainly.
I wonder if you could fit your Surround back there.
I did fit my Surround in my Model 3, so really? I definitely can. Did I do that in my Model 3, or did I do that in my Model S?
I would think the S. The 3 is pretty small.
Yeah, you're right. I did in my S. Never mind. That's not true. I didn't fit my Surround in my Model 3. Because I got my Surround in June. I got the Model 3, and so yeah, you're right. If I can fit it in my Model S, then I probably can in the Y, right?
I would imagine. I mean, the Y is probably narrower but taller, and but I think it's going to, you know, if it fits in the Model S, it's probably going to fit in the Model Y.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would know if we could actually get a good look at
hatch
opening.
We do know 66 cubic feet of storage, mm-hmm. which is way bigger than other vehicles in its class.
Yeah, that's great.
Significantly, it's like almost a class above in storage. So,
We're talking about, like, we're comparing Teslas right now. If you start bringing in other cars, then as usual, Tesla's gonna probably crush them. But as ourselves being already Tesla owners and not really being in the market to add a car to our fleet, but to instead replace one, probably. I feel like are you tempted to trade in your Bolt for that, or
no? I was actually gonna trade in. I mean, so the Bolt and the Model X are both on lease, and the lease is next year. So I think we're gonna trade both of those in for the Model, because we used to have a babysitter that used our car. Mm. I think we're gonna trade, or basically just, you know, surrender the cars for the lease. and get a Model Y and have a Model Y and a Model X. And I think we're going to go probably long range.
I'm not following. You said a Model Y and a Model X.
Sorry, a Model 3 and a Model Y.
Okay, yeah,
the two smaller cars. And then we'll have, right now I have a rear wheel drive on my Model 3. Keep that. I like
the all-wheel drive Model Y.
All-wheel drive Model Y, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so, you know, when we go up to Vermont, we'll take that. I wonder also, the Model Y that, you know, obviously you didn't mention the tow hitch, like Maxime.
Apparently, some people at the event were confirming the tow hitch, but they also said it was the same thing for the Model 3, so it hasn't come yet on Model 3. But I still think they could come for both, but just not high priority for Tesla. I know like the Norwegian are crazy about that stuff. They always they want everything with the tow hitch.
Right.
So now that they are on the market there, maybe it will finally come. But
And I would assume the same roof rack as the Model 3 that is never in stock?
It's the same roof, basically, right?
Yeah, I think so. So the same roof rack would probably work. So, you know, that'll be in stock in 2026 or something. You know?
Yeah. I think it did come back in stock a few times, the roof rack.
For like an hour at a time?
Yeah, they do make some batches. It's just like, it's not high priority for them, really. No. That's a problem. Yeah, I mean, let's look at the specs real quick, because I think it's interesting for, because I was expecting at least 280 miles of range. They came out at 300 miles of range. So that's great. And that's clearly going to be with the long range battery pack, of course. So it is the higher end of the lineup for the Model Y. Where is it? The lineup? Oh, I'm just losing the picture right now. Got it. Right. All right. So long range, 200 miles. If you add the dual motor, just like Model 3, the efficiency goes down. And 280 miles, both for dual motor or dual motor with the performance package. Then if you go with the standard range, you get 230 miles of range, which is more than you get on the standard range for the Model 3.
Is that right?
Yes. Tesla is listing it at 220 miles, which I have to assume that, and that's the thing now with Tesla's way to simplify the way that they refer to their vehicles without using the kilowatt hour capacity of the battery pack anymore. That means that the standard range battery pack in the Model 3 is not the same standard range battery pack as a Model Y. Probably it's the standard range plus battery pack, most likely. And that, or since the standard range battery pack on Model Y is not coming for like 2 years, it's not going to be on the market for 2 years. So who knows what's going to happen within 2 years? Tesla could just, they probably anticipate maybe that the standard range battery pack within 2 years for Model 3 or Model Y is going to be different with battery improvements.
That's true.
Just incremental battery improvement over the next 2 years. So they are listing it right now at 230 miles, but they might not know for sure what's going to happen in the next 2 years. Well, they know for sure that they're going to be an improvement. It's just they're trying to chart it in a certain way. That's 2 years. That's spring 2021. All the rest of the lineup is apparently coming fall 2020. So just over a year from now.
A year and a half, or maybe like a year and a quarter or something.
Yeah, I think they did say in the fact sheet that it's that's actually Q4. No, so yeah, you're right. A year and a half would make more sense. The price is also coming in that the more on the good side of our expectations.
Yeah, especially for performance. A performance Model Y at 60,000. That's tempting.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying like I could trade my Model 3. I mean, what do I lose if I trade my Model 3? I lose like 0.3 second of acceleration from 0 to 60.
Yeah, I won't notice that.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I lose 12 miles per hour top speed, I think.
Yep.
Is it 12? Yeah, it was 55, but I think it's going up with the coming on date to 162, I think.
Right.
And I lose, some range, but I mean, I rarely get up to that 300 miles on a single charge.
I wonder if it's going to have like the Chrome Delete and all that stuff, like the ones they showed off. You know, I know the performance Model 3 is supposed to have that whatever that tail thing is.
Spoiler?
Spoiler, yeah. What is it, graphite or something? Or Kevlar? I don't know.
I think it's carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber.
Yeah, that thing, apparently, because my car was in service just a few weeks ago, and I said, well, while it's in service, just install my spoiler that I should have for 6 months now. And they were like, oh, we get like one or two of those at a time, so we can install it. All right. So I'm not holding my breath for my spoiler. But yeah, the price on the higher end, you're right, is nice. But on the lower end, it is too. I mean, Elon already said it was going to be like 10% more expensive than Model 3, but we weren't sure that would mean that it would start at just 10% over 35,000 Elon, because they could have just introduced it with all-wheel drive, but there are two versions with all-wheel drive. You can have it just with rear-wheel drive long range and rear-wheel drive standard range. And standard range comes in at $29,000. At that price, I mean, the other crossovers and the electric crossovers that we've seen in the segment, they're going to have a tough time.
But I agree.
But big but is that that's 2021. When we talk about other crossover in the segment, we talk about like the Kia Niro EV. We talk about the Kona EV. We talk about like that, which are similar in price. But they are available with an extra risk now in California mainly.
Yeah, and they are also, big asterisks as well, going to have a $7,500 tax credit, where these are going to have zero at that
point. Oh, good point. Yeah, if you're talking about the U.S. market, that's a good point for sure. I almost forgot that, because in 2021, yeah, there's nothing. Though, there might be nothing sooner.
Or there might be more later. We have no idea.
We don't know. But let's imagine that everything is on the market right now. It would be extremely hard to go to decide to go with one of those cars instead of the Model Y. If we expect like, the same quality of that we see in the Model 3, for example, where it is a more premium car than those two vehicles that we just mentioned.
And there's the intangibles, you know, the charging network and the dealers, the cachet of Tesla, the dealers that actually want to sell you the car and they actually help you out instead of leading you to gas cars. Yeah. So there's a lot of intangibles that go along with getting a Tesla.
But I think there's going to be closer competitors than those cars by that time the Model Y comes out.
Sure.
We've just seen the Audi Q4 e-tron, Mercedes has one coming in the same segment too. And those cars are going to be available around the same time as the Model Y. They haven't announced the pricing of those cars.
And so BMW is going to have that iNEXT as well.
That iNEXT, yeah, you're right. And iNEXT, it's barely crossover too, though. Oh, yeah, well, you can argue that Model Y is the same, similar shape.
Yeah.
And they have the iX3, which is a little bit bigger SUV, but I think the iX3 is going to be not as big as like Model Y or even like the e-tron or something. Well, maybe it would be about the similar size of the e-tron. So depending on the pricing on that thing, that could also be interesting. If they do bring it to the U.S., because I think that's going to be built in China and exported worldwide. But
so clarify on that. They said the Model Y would be built in China, but not only in China, or is it going to be only built in China?
No, the Model Y, that was confusing a little bit because I really was hoping that they're going to talk more about the production plan for the Model Y. The pre-Model Y unveiling, when he went into all the history of Tesla and everything, he did had a segment about production and how important it is, over even more important than product development and everything. But then when it was time to unveil the Model Y, it wasn't as clear. But no, for sure, he said that it's going to be available in China in 2022, I think. So if that's the case, then for sure that's the plan is not to produce it in China and then export them. So I think it's going to be produced in the U.S., most likely Gigafactory 1 again, and make it available just a year and a half from now.
Yeah, and so that was something else. Like the only other kind of new thing that we saw or heard was the actual model or mock-up of the China Gigafactory.
Yeah.
Which looked kind of cool.
It looked kind of cool. And the other, aside from actually seeing the design of the factory, which I'm a little skeptical about, because we've seen also the design of the Gigafactory 1, and I mean, years later, it's still nothing close to that, and they start have slowed down the expansion of the factory. It's been like one third of the final size for 2 years now, I think. So I'm like, okay, I'm not so sure. But Elon literally said it will look like that by the end of the year. I know that the Chinese are a lot like they get it done when it comes to building things. So maybe that will be the difference. But the most important thing that I think he said when regarding to that was the fact that it's going to be have the production capacity of both Fremont Factory and Gigafactory 1 in Nevada. He did mention that in the past, that every new Gigafactory is going to have battery cell production and battery and vehicle production, full vehicle production. So you get like sheet metal and some materials coming from one side, and they build both the battery pack and the powertrain and the body and the interior and everything. And the other side of the factory, there's an actual car coming out.
I wonder if they're going to build panels in every big Gigafactory too. Just have like a full range of
solar panels.
Yeah, solar panels.
Okay, I'm not so sure about that. That'd be interesting.
Different thing, I guess.
Yeah. So he did say that a while back, but then when they actually announced the actual Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai, they did it with all the everything that was happening with the trade war and everything. So they said they wanted instead to focus to actually be able to get cars out of there as fast as possible. And when he said that, he said that means that we will at least at first have to import cells into the Kia factory, whether it's domestically or from someone else. So it wasn't linked there. So that announcement, it brought back Tesla's original plan to actually build everything there eventually. I don't think it's going to be this year, though, because they're going to have the need to still be able to produce, have a production capacity in China is still there, and they still need to do it by the end of the year. And you just cannot do that, like bring a vehicle production and battery cell production line there at the same time. It would be very surprising, I think. Do we have something else about the Model Y that you want to mention? Oh, well, we should talk about the reservation process right now.
Yeah, so that was kind of the disappointment, I guess. It was twofold. One was that it's instead of 1,000, it's 2,500, which that's kind of understandable. Like, if you're serious about it, you're going to put down the money. I think there's probably a lot of people who got their $1,000 back. At some point during the 2 year period that maybe Tesla thought that they should get more serious people. And then, the fine print, and you, I guess you should explain more about that since you wrote.
Yeah. I mean, what's weird is that, well, they clearly skip altogether the reservation process, which, not exactly against that, like for the reason that you just explained, you get more serious people. But now what they did is that they basically copied the Model 3 ordering process, but that process is built for when you actually like order the car, and then the car goes into production and you have it 4 to 6 weeks away or whatever, depending on your configuration and where you are in the world and whatnot. But now what they did is they just copied that, and they said they put the $2,500 normally a deposit that you need to pay, but now they're not calling it a deposit anymore. You're calling it basically a processing fee. And it is refundable. So they are making the processing fees. So there's actually a process being done, but it's still refundable. Unlike the Model 3, the same process in the Model 3, that's a non-refundable fee, which is kind of weird. Because how is it refundable if there's actually like a processing being done for your order? Of course, that can be explained the fact that they're not just ready to make that order because it's still a year and a half away, which is weird. So it looks a lot like they rushed the ordering process for the Model Y. They wanted to have the ordering process as soon as possible. And of course, the explanation for that can be that, yeah, they want more serious people, or that they needed the cash like now. They wanted the cash infusion right now. Like,
yeah, and I think that's probably that's kind of what we're feeling. Like, it seems like a lot of things that Tesla's been doing lately has been to gather cash. And
and of course, you're mentioning the what you're referencing is the employees' compensation being slashed seriously for the retail front, the store closures that ended up being reversed.
Half of global recruitment.
Yeah, 100 people, the recruiting team has been slashed. Also, the price discount, like, it looks like the whole decreasing their price and then increasing them again, everything. Those were demand creators, basically. So they wanted the order in right now. So to create as much demand they can with those discounts. So that also instigated some kind of best example of that is the features for the Autopilot features, because those were sort of already the cost of them was already accounted for. It was more about having people activate them. Like me, for example, I've been on Model 3 owners for like 6 months now, whatever. And this quarter ended up sending Tesla a $2,600 more just to lock in the FSD, because it looks like they were basically giving a discount on it for some owners, which we went into last week. I don't think it was the right thing to do for the people that just never got those features, but still it was a great way for Tesla to get some cash out of the people that that already have Teslas. So there's a bunch of things like that. And now you had the rush to open orders from Model Y that does make it look like right now Tesla is under a big cash crunch. I guess we're going to know for sure like in a month or so when they do report their earnings.
Earnings is going to be a big question mark. I think that's going to be a very watched earnings call. But you know, Elon's already said that they're not going to break even. So
yeah, they already warned everyone to lower their expectations a little bit, I guess, which is fair.
So in the comments, people are asking, somebody asked Elon if there was one more thing, and he says there was, but no one caught it. What do you think that was?
Well, what happened is that for sure, the after the presentation, they dropped the light for like a second or something. All right. Then nothing happened as far as we know. But right after the presentation, like most people, they went outside to get in line for test rides. I went into the press room just to get the first article out as soon as I could. So I wasn't there. But when I came out after that, a bunch of people approached me and said that there was when the light went out, they flashed an image on the main screen, and that image was of the electric Tesla pickup truck.
No. Really?
Yeah. The thing is, everyone that came up to me and said that to me, I asked them the same thing. Did you see it? And they said no. So I said, how do you know that then? I said, someone told me. And everyone was the same. No one I talked to actually saw the picture. They were all just told by someone else. So it was sort of kind of thing, like a wildfire rumor going to the event or something. So that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And Elon did confirm that there was one more thing, but everyone missed it for some reason. So that could be it. I mean, if someone, like, if you did that, for people to see it. So if everyone missed it, I mean, come on, give us another shot.
Yeah, exactly. It was also weird. The event ended. Elon was like, yep, that's it, and walked away. And then everybody's like, well, is there test drives? Is there, like, do we get to ride in it? And then Franz came out, didn't have a mic, didn't seem scripted. And he was like, yeah, we're going to do test drives in the back or whatever.
Yeah, apparently Elon just had to go like right away or something. Because he also said at first, like, oh, but when I'm done here, you guys can just come up and look at the cars and everything. But then what you just said is that, like, friends was saying, oh, no, don't come up because we need that car to do the test drives.
Right, yeah.
It was only that car that was working, right?
No, yeah, there was only one car working. The white car actually had frosted windows. So I don't even think it was a complete... And then outside, they also had the aerodynamic testing vehicle. So they're pretty early in their development. That's why it's a year and a half away.
Yet, last earnings that Elon said that he already approved the production prototype for Model Y?
Yeah, I guess that's the blue one, right?
I assume, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great looking car. Like, the Model 3 is not a bad car. So, like, if you're going to base your Model Y on something, like, the Model 3 is a great thing to candidate.
best-selling premium car.
Yeah, and Elon said something to the tune of, we think the Model Y is going to sell more than every other car we sell combined, or something like that.
Oh, I didn't hear the combined. I didn't get that.
It was something like, we'll go back to the video on that, and maybe one of our listeners can chime in. But he said something like, we anticipate the Model Y will sell more than the Model 3 and the Model X combined. Somebody says, yeah, he did.
That makes sense. That's not that bad, because Model X sells, what, 50,000 a year, something close to 50,000? No, so it's not that big of a deal. Well, I guess even if you put the Model S in there, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, so yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, we wouldn't be too extravagant, because I do think that it's going to sell more than Model 3 for sure.
And it's going to also cannibalize the Model X, I believe.
Yeah, though the Model X is still a lot more cargo space in there, and a real third row. Like, you can still we were all valet to the event in Model X's, and it was all full all the time with the third row, and it wasn't a big deal. Like, there was adults in the third row all the time. So you're not comfortable for a long trip in there, but like for like commuting and stuff like that, it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sit in the back of my Model X. Like, I just get claustrophobic.
Yeah. But you could.
I could. So, I just don't, because it freaks me out. Because
it's your Model X.
Right. And I usually drive, yeah. But I think just like that, I think the Model Y is going to be for kids in the back in emergency situations.
Yeah.
But not from day to day. Like, nobody's going to be like well, my kids were like, hey, I want to sit in the back of the Model S. You know, they had their own area with the rear-facing seat. I don't think people are going to be like, maybe kids will, but I don't think adults are going to be like, can I sit in the back, like the way back?
And, No, that's not going to happen. So I still think that Model X is going to have a place in Tesla's lineup. Because that was a rumor, too, before the event. Apparently, some people come up to me and say, oh, yeah, they're going to announce that they're going to kill the Model S and X, or just the Model S, or just the Model X or something. I didn't think it made much sense, but... But you're right. It's going to still affect to some degree the sales. It probably sells a Model 3 more than anything, I think.
Yeah. So that's the other thing. Are people going to wait for the Model Y rather than picking up a Model 3? I have a feeling that's going to be a little bit of a cannibalization there as well. I mean, just from my own standpoint, I would much rather have a Model Y than a Model 3. Yeah.
The thing is, I think that while they are not too worried about that, is because they just released the $35,000 Model 3, and right, the $39,000 Model Y is not coming for another 2 years. So they feel pretty comfortable about that, if it does cannibalize some orders, it's going to cannibalize the higher hand of Model 3, because some people might decide to wait that year and a half to get the higher end Model Y. Because for me, for example, like I would like to trade the same for the same performance. So I have the Model 3 performance. I feel like I could wait for the Model Y performance. But if I was on the market for like not having like those high performance and everything, then I'm like, oh, do I want to wait that 2 years? And I'll probably get the cheaper Model 3 then. And the other thing, if this sees them and be affected by it that much, I think what they would do is they just release a lease program for Model 3.
Yeah.
And I think that would just, people will start, I'll take a 2 year lease and I'll upgrade to Model Y then when time comes.
Yeah.
I think that would save any kind of down problem with it. Well, every time Tesla releases a new product, I think it kills the argument that there's no demand for vehicles. There's no demand for Tesla. The demand is over and everything. I think that's another example this time.
And Puya 130 brings up a good question. Elon did mention in what, 3 years, 2 to 3 years, a lower end car, sub $35,000. That should be coming right around the time that they should announce that around the time that Model Y is hitting the market. I wonder if that's going to play into that situation at all as well.
It's going to be a compact car, so I think,
right,
or subcompact even maybe. So I don't think that's going to be that big of an impact on those sales, because it's really completely different. What's more, it's going more for urban type of people. I think that's what they're going to do people that live in cities, apartment dwellers. I think that's also good because the timing of it is going to be better because the charging infrastructure for those people are going to get better in the next few years, I think. So that all makes more sense.
You know, I was thinking just totally random. Maybe that's why Tesla didn't want anybody recording the actual event because of the truck popping up briefly. Because they didn't want somebody to record it.
But then everyone missed it anyway because they said, go outside to get the test rides, and everyone turned around to go see the test rides. So, yeah, so I don't know what they were thinking there. Yeah.
Well, now they have another thing to keep in their bag. I mean, I did see some people live streaming it or recording it while it was going on. We had a pre-announced, you know, before the event live stream that we did like 50, you know, from like basically 8 o'clock to 8:15, the amount of time that they were late, we were just kind of showing the audience. But I did see some other people live streaming on Twitter and YouTube. So maybe we can, I mean, I feel like everybody
probably stop when Elon stopped or, right. Or even when friends, this is a little 2 minute announcement. So not even then. So I doubt that people would still, I think they really wait for everyone to turn around, basically.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So Model Y, are we still on Model Y right now? I guess not. I guess we can move on. Tesla started out pushing the Model 3 software update to boost the range of the car. So you get 15 more miles out of it. For the long range all-wheel drive only. That's the software update 2019.5.15. Though I've seen some reported people getting the update and not seeing the range increase. So might be gradually rolling out. And I mean, that was something that was announced with the $35,000 Model 3 a few weeks ago. So it's not a surprise, but it's also like, people got mad at me when I said it's not that impressive. It's not. It's just not that impressive because we already knew about it. That we already knew that the long range Model 3 had potential to be advertised that had a higher range, and we
EPA gave it 335. Like Tesla could come out with another update that says, "Oh, what's it'll go to 335 next time." And the EPA
it would only be impressive to me, if they really increase the efficiency of the car. Which is sort of what Elon said, but like vaguely, didn't want to go into like not clearly. So if they did that, then it's impressive. But we have no evidence that they did that at this point. We have only evidence that they are increasing the advertised range of the car, which doesn't mean anything, other than from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, I mean
Why I don't think that they did an increase in efficiencies, because if they would have increased in efficiency, then they would have increased the range of the all-wheel drive version too, which is as the same battery pack, as the same motors. So there's no reason that if there was an efficiency gain made through the battery pack or the software or the motors, then they would have applied that to the all-wheel drive too. So I just think that it's more like they can increase the advertised range now because they don't have to sell the higher-end version as much. Now that the completed the Model 3 lineup, basically.
So two things. One, they do have to do a little bit of fudgery. So they have to change on your car when you fully charge it. It now says 350. What is it? 315? 325? 320? What is the new top? 325.
310 to 325. Yeah.
So now when you fully charge it. It says 325. It used to say 310, and it'll. That's one thing. The other thing is, I still don't get. Like we were told, Tesla was able to make two motors more efficient than one motor.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember that. I was there. Like the D event. Like it's emblazoned in my brain. Why is that not more efficient?
Well, that was explained to us by. Tuning each motor to different kind of efficiency at different kind of speed so that you could focus more on one motor at certain speed, one on the other motor at another speed, which makes a lot of sense. And you can get, especially a highway range, better with that. My understanding is that they could do it more with the kind of mortar they were using in Model S and X, not in the kinds of mortars they're using in Model 3s. Mm. So that could explain it. And then the efficiency loss then can be explained also by the added weight that you have on a dual mortar system.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, it's okay. But I would have liked Tesla to just be more transparent about it and show. But the marketing won there, that's for sure. It's not like the more sensible people there that won. So it was the marketing people that went like, you cannot advertise it with more. You cannot launch the higher performance version now with the lower range than the long range version that we had. You cannot. It won't sell. They were probably right. Maybe not. I would have bought one anyway. I would have went to the performance version anyway, even if they would have clearly said that it was less efficient. It was clearly less efficient from the EPA, but the range was the same, which doesn't make sense if it's less efficient with the same battery pack.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close.
Some way to go there in terms of like transparency, I think.
Yeah, and it's pretty close. It's 15 miles or whatever. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. It's not that big of a deal, so don't be transparent about it. Next, Model 3 takes over Europe. Yeah, earlier this week, I shared a bunch of numbers in terms of registration for the last month and the first few days and the first week of March for a few European market. And I mean, Model 3 is coming hard on the EV market in Europe right now, especially in Norway, Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland. All Tesla's biggest market, basically in Europe, aside from Germany, which wasn't that big of a market for Tesla. Well, to a certain degree, but per capita, it never was. Now, in Norway, just for the first week of March, they sell three times more than the other best-selling car. Not best-selling EV, best-selling car, but best-selling EVs are basically best-selling cars in Norway. Almost 1,000 units the first week, 700 units last month. And they just got like 1,000 units shipment that just came in today in Norway. So, I mean, in March, it's going to crush the market for sure. And they're going to do that with just the two higher-end version of the Model 3, which is the only ones that are available in Norway, with the 35,000 version coming and even just the standard plus, or even just the mid-range, which wasn't available. I mean, Model 3 is undoubtedly going to be the best-selling car in Norway, but like not only best-selling, but I think by a wide margin, and so much so that I think it might push overall car sales in Norway this year to over 70%, I think, all electric.
Which is kind of like we've reached the tipping – like Norway, the tipping point has happened. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's now – digital cameras versus film cameras.
Oh yeah, you're like, if you talk about buying a gas powered cars, you're not only in the minority, you're gonna have to think twice about it, because you said like, what's gonna be like to sell that car in 4 or 5 years or whatever was the kind of cycles you are for buying your cars.
Yeah, we need to go to Norway.
Oh yeah, we need to check it out
this summer. We should make a trip.
Yeah, let's wait a few months until Mother Nature gets everything's right. Later. We were talking about Norway, but also a great result in Germany, where they sell almost 1,000 units last month, and there's more coming this month. That's a 500% increase for Tesla in February. Netherlands also almost 500 units. It was the best-selling EV there, beating the Niro EV, Kona EV, and even the Leaf, which has been a long-time bestseller there. And it's also Tesla on the look at like France. Tesla has never been a big seller in France, and the Leaf and the Zoe always been the best seller there for EVs. But now Tesla is starting to gain some market share with Model 3. So exciting stuff for the car. Sorry. Oh yeah, we already mentioned the Glob recruiting staff. Half of the team has been laid off. So that's. That spells a slow in the headcounts, a slower growth in the headcounts if like half your recruiting team is down.
Yeah, and I think one of the sources mentioned that that Tesla was kind of going to focus on promoting from within rather than pulling people from other places. I think they've just had a lot more success there. And a good example of that is their new CFO,
Kurt CEO too. They're both
So, he kind of started pretty young over there at Tesla and managed to stay on the island. And he is now the top dog in the finance department. So
at 34 years old.
At 34 years old.
It's kind of insane being the CFO of a large company, a large automaker. At this point, we can say Tesla is a large automaker, a large company worth $50+ billion. And he's in charge of a big finance team. I mean, I don't know the guy, so I don't want to say that he's not he can do the job. That's what I'm saying, because I'm sure he's a very competent person. But it has to be very difficult because, he must be younger than, like, probably most of the employees under him, right? When finance department, normally average.
Usually finance is pretty old, but, like, I think Tesla skews young. The hours and the culture.
Mm-hmm. And but, you know, Deepak was in his 50s, late right. 50s, I think. No.
Yeah, he kind of felt like parental control sometimes. So that'll also be interesting to see. Also, like, I don't want to throw this all in Kirkhorn, but, like, a lot of crazy finance things have happened, like, in the last month.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the new guy or if it's, you know, Elon, the old guy, like
Deepak, like he's Deepak. I'm going down, I'm going hard.
Yeah, going out in style. So I don't want to speculate, but just interesting that all these crazy moves are happening right when he's on the way out.
Yeah, I wish before Deepak left. No, I think he's still advising now for now at least. But I wish that before he left, he would have done like one last big round of capital raise for Tesla. Just set it on their way with like $1 billion more in their pockets and help accelerate the Model Y program, the Tesla Semi program, and the Roadster program. I mean,
and like, hey, you can have stores too. Like,
yeah, and you don't, because if you do that, you make the right now. I think Tesla, with the latest move they've been doing, they either made their employees pay or they made their consumers pay. I think if you have cash flow problems, you should make your investors pay. That's just my view, because they are the one that's tend to make money at the end of the day. So if there was some mismanagement, and Elon himself is an investor, and a lot of people in the company are investors, but could raise capital. And I know it looks bad to a certain degree to some people in the market and everything, but I don't think ultimately would have been a good thing for Tesla in the long term. But I don't see it happening with the latest moves and everything. So I'm still throwing it out there, so if they want to do it.
Yep.
Speaking of one of those moves that making the customers, why can't I say that word? Consumers. It's the autopilot prices. So with the reversal that's coming on Monday, by the way, guys, of the prices across the entire lineup, except for the $35,000 Model 3, a 3% increase across the board, and which is apparently due to the reversal or the partial reversal of the retail strategy. They are also reversing to, I'm quoting here, back to normal, the autopilot prices. So that move to just rebundle the two packages for the autopilot full self-driving package came with also some very big price decrease, both when you buy before delivery and when you order after delivery. And of course, that was a controversial move because of the people that bought those packages either pre-delivery, like a long time ago, or even over the air a long time ago, because those, especially those over the years, because those that bought over the years, like a year ago or something, they paid the full price for it. And
And it's kind of weird that, like, Tesla kind of insinuated that buying it early would be like, that's the whole reason to buy it early, is that you get it cheaper.
Yeah, and
like,
to raise the price on that. It literally said they really incentivize you, buy it before delivery or as soon as possible, because it goes up, the price goes up,
right?
And it doesn't go up, it went down. So that's misleading the consumers. And also the biggest problem is, of course, on features they never delivered, meaning the full self-driving package. Now you cannot say that anymore because of the rebundle. They put the autopilot feature into the full self-driving package. It's like, oh, the full self-driving package now has features. So great. But that wasn't the case for people that bought it before. They bought like a $3,000 to $5,000 package that they never received any features out of that. So that's just wrong. You cannot just do that. Have those people pay $3,000 to $5,000 and they never get anything. And then you rebundle the package and you tell those people they can get it for $2,000 to $3,000 less. Makes no sense. Tesla did say to be fair, they did say that they would put those people on the EEP program, the early access program. But I don't think that everyone wants to be on that because that comes with the responsibility also to like to give feedback and everything and to beta test features. Not everyone wants to be a beta tester, though everyone is to a certain degree with Tesla. But So I didn't think that was fair to them. I wasn't in that group because I actually didn't buy them, and I did now this week because of again, looks like it ended up being a temporary discount basically.
So, but you bought full self
driving yeah. over the air, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, $2,600 Canadian.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till I see it.
Probably intelligent of you, but my thinking is more about the hardware 3. So I kind of want that supercomputer kind of thing in my car.
Right.
I kind of want it. And apparently it's still linked to it. So you're still going to eventually get that retrofit. But again, it's still a wait and see, like you just mentioned. So, all right. I put down the money.
Let's see how that goes.
They got to me. Tesla tuners. That was pretty cool. I've been waiting a while to be able to post that. I went to see those guys at Unplugged Performance like a month or two ago because they were doing some very cool thing in terms of aftermarket products for with a focus on efficiency instead of performance and aesthetics, which is what you're going to see normally at any kind of vehicle tuners, not just Tesla tuners. But it was very interesting. They were working on a white paper and wanted to be to help out to sort of vulgarize it for the masses instead of just like a digesting a white paper. And what they did basically is they managed to develop three separate aftermarket products that reduce drag on the Model 3 and combine them together. And then it's a pretty significant reduction in drag that result in higher efficiency, which of course translates to longer range. And they are backing it up with some pretty decent simulation testing of a Model 3. They hired what do you call those guys? Aerodynamic performance expert, really. They scanned the whole Model 3. A factory stock Model 3 to get the performance, and then they made modification to it and in the system and to see the impact on drag. Some people are good at that's not the best way to do it, but other people, they think it's better than a wind tunnel. Other they think it's not as good as a wind tunnel. And I'm not an expert on that, obviously, so make your own opinion. I posted all the information on Electrek, and you can make your own opinion out of it. But what they do claim is when you combine the new spoiler that they built for it, the front lip that they built for it, so it's kind of a front spoiler on the lower half of your bumper, and they have a coil lowering, suspension lowering kit. When you combine all those two together, it results in a 21% total reduction in drag, they claim. And for comparison, which was kind of interesting, they did, you know, we've been talking about for a long time what it would do to your efficiency of your car and your range if you were to remove the side mirrors and replace them with cameras or whatnot. And Audi did it with the e-tron, but it's only available in Europe because it's not legal here in the US. But Tesla's been talking about that for a while too, just they never did it. And through their simulation, they tried to do that just to remove the mirrors, and it resulted in a 2.8% in total decrease in drag. So big difference from their 21 that they get with all three combined. So all three of their modification on their own is more efficient than just removing the mirrors. and combine all together, it's even more efficient. So I'd like to see it working like a real world performance, and they do work in real performance, like separately. They very much just did it like last week, but the front lip has been available for a while. And when we went to Tesla Corsa, which is also sponsored by Unplugged Performance, a few weeks ago, a few of the cars had the front lip, because it's not only good for efficiency, it's also good for downforce. So on the tracks, people were loving it a lot. But now you can also use it on the track, but it can also help your efficiency. And then you combine that for, of course, lowering the car will obviously result in an improvement drag, but you don't want to lower it too much either, because then you can have some issue with clearance. The front lip itself, it's only 1/8 of an inch difference from clearance to ground clearance than the factory bumper. So that's not that big of a deal. But combine that with the lowering spring, then that's start to be quite significant. And the spoiler is just more like a definitely increase range and efficiency and improve downforce. And the other thing is like an aesthetic thing. So either you like it or not. But definitely something worth looking into, guys. I think it's interesting. What else we have this week? Oh yeah, a quick note on the
with 3 minutes left, let's talk about other things besides Tesla. VW electric hatchback pre-order May 8th.
Yeah, we've seen that car for a while, so nothing new really here other than some timing update. The production version is going to be unveiled in September, but they're going to open a reservation before unveiling the production version May 8th. We assume that they're going to release some specs or something new. Like they've been talking about the specs for a long time. Like they're going to have two or three kind of battery packs. It's going to have up to 300 miles of range, maybe a version with 200 miles of range and everything. It's going to be the first car on the MEB platform that Volkswagen has been working on for a while. That's going to power like a range of different electric cars across all their different brands, like Audi, Porsche, and maybe not Porsche.
Porsche has its own platform.
Yeah, well, Audi and Porsche have on their own platform that they're working on for 2021, but I think that might be just higher end. So I think for sure Audi is going to use the MEB platform for some of that. But Volkswagen and Skoda and all those guys, they're going to see, and all those guys are going to work on off of the MEB platform. That's going to be the first. May 8th, you can pre-order it. September, it's going to come out. Always weird when you start the pre-orders before you unveil the production car. Though Tesla did it, well, it was a reservation with the Model 3. But with Tesla, you knew that the prototype would be pretty close to the production version, and it really was. Don't know what's going to be the case here for Volkswagen, but that's still something to watch out for May. Rivian, that was really cool, I think. Rivian patented some kind of modular bed system where you basically build your own pickup truck bed with a latch system that can support a bunch of different bed configuration, which is either just like a regular empty bed or just a regular side cover bed or a fully covered bed or one that just you can strap motorcycles on, one that's like an RV type configuration, like a camper. So a lot of different stuff that apparently you can easily move and install, remove and install on it. They are trying to patent that. So it looks like it's going to be something that's going to be available when the truck is next year. Interesting way to look at bed configuration, I think. Finally, real quick, Fisker, the one I joked about to start with the show. We're talking about Enric Fisker is a new electric vehicle startup, not the bankrupt Fisker that was bought out by the Chinese company and now it's called Karma. So that's really Enric Fisker's new startup that he's using his name on it again. They unveiled like a crazy car like a few, that was almost 2 years ago, I think. And they haven't brought it to market yet. It was supposed to be like a Model S competitor, much like the Karma was to the Model S, but hasn't happened yet, but they're still unveiling a new car, so we'll see. And that new car is more going to be a Model 3 competitor at $40,000, apparently. It's going to have over 400 miles. No, 400 miles are the emotion. It's going to have 300 miles of range, I think. No, they haven't said anything about Orange. Excuse me. Yeah, because they have that solid state battery technology that they've been working on. That they say that
this is going
to be 500 miles. But I mean, that doesn't mean anything. If you say I have a new battery technology, it's going to enable up to 500 miles. 500 miles on what car? I mean, with existing battery technology, I can get 500 miles on plenty of different type of cars. But it's just doesn't make much sense. I mean, I'm very skeptical of that guy.
Yeah, he seems to. I mean, like, he does design good looking vehicles, like
insanely good looking.
But man, like the amount of like bait and switch. I don't want to say bait and switch, but like it does seem like he talks a lot more than he delivers.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously he was a Tesla designer at one point.
Consultant, I think it was consulting on the Model S design.
Yeah, and that didn't work out. And there was I think there was a lawsuit or something.
Yeah. He won. So
yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Not that the courts are always fair, but all right. So that's pretty much it for us this week, guys. Thanks a lot for listening and watching on YouTube. I'm going to talk to you same time, same place next week. Bye.